Well, if you have a Bible with you, you can open to Exodus chapter 20. We will look at verse 13 together this morning, and the text is printed there on the next page of the bulletin for you. Looking at God's commandments, the Ten Commandments, which, you know, His commandments reveal His will to us. That's a simple way of understanding. Reveal the will of God for our life together with Him. Ultimately, His commandments reveal His own life. I mean, if they reveal His will, then they're revealing His life that He opens up to us in Jesus Christ. And so the commandments reveal life, the life of God. They reveal life to be, in every case, relational. That's what we find in all these commandments. They have to do with our relationships with God and with each other. So it's life with that is being revealed here. The life of God is life with. Life with God, life with each other. And so Jesus and the apostles help us understand the nature of God's commandments when they say they're about love, right? Love is the fulfillment of the commandments. Love is the fulfillment of the law. That's what our life together is meant to be characterized by, is love. That's what's being revealed here. The life of God is love. So the life that the one true God has and reveals and opens up to us in Jesus is love. So let's see how the sixth commandment in particular reveals this to us. Let's pray and we'll read the scripture. Father, help us to understand what you've said, to give our attention to your word and to know what it means and why you've said it. We pray that you'd help us to see your commandments in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make us alive in your spirit to love this word as we consider it together now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall not murder. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, you shall not murder. Seems like common sense. Pretty much every nation in the world has a legal system forbidding murder. If you do murder, then it's probably jail, maybe even death for you. Because common sense. I mean, everybody agrees that murder is bad, right? Well, if that were true, then why does murder happen so much? Why do we need laws forbidding it? If we all know that it's bad and it's common sense. Actually, it's not a matter of common sense. We need this word, this very word of God, to tell us that murder is bad. That killing another human being is actually out of accord with God's goodness. Because actually, as sinners, our instinct is to murder in some way, shape, or form. This has been true from our earliest history as a race, apart from God. In Genesis 4, after our first parents sinned and then left the paradise of God's presence, as soon as there was such a thing as a little brother, there was murder. Cain killed his little brother, Abel, the first sibling rivalry, killed his little brother, Abel, in jealous anger. This was not something, you know, Cain learned from someone else. It's not something that Cain saw on TV and wanted to imitate. This was not due to the desensitizing influence of video games in his life. This was not just an unfortunate mistake. This unprecedented evil came out of Cain's heart. It was something that was natural to his sin nature. As Jesus says, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, so on and so forth, other violations of God's good purposes for our life together. Murder comes from us. That's where it comes from. Murder comes from us. So the idea that murder is wrong, the idea that murder is bad, the idea that murder is evil, that idea does not come from us. That's not common sense. Murder is common sense. The good God has to tell us what is good, and he has to tell us what is evil. We know that murder is evil because God tells us it is contrary to his will, to his character, to his nature. We're not supposed to kill each other, not because that's obvious to everybody, not because it's a universal abstract value. We're not supposed to kill each other because the one true God said so. He means for his word to define and shape our life together. Even though we've been opposed to his ways in our sin, he means for our relationships with each other to be governed by our relationship with him. Who he is and how we relate to him should govern all of our relationships. And this is some of the good news that we can actually deduce from this commandment. What kind of God doesn't want us to murder? When it's so natural, when it's so prevalent, universal in the world, what kind of God doesn't want us to do that? Because honestly, all the other gods want us to murder in some way, shape, or form. The devil is called the god of this world, and Jesus says the devil is the father of sinful humanity, and he's been a murderer from the beginning. When the people of Israel first received these commandments, Yahweh had just delivered them out of the death cult in Egypt. they were surrounded by nations, all the nations around them, whose gods demanded human sacrifices. Religions around the world, religions throughout history, have promoted hate and revenge and killing your enemies, even killing your babies. Only Yahweh, only the triune God of love revealed in Jesus Christ, is truly the God of life, who's opposed to murder. His words alone are life and love. So what is this word, the sixth commandment? What does it really mean? Martin Luther wrote a small catechism. It's a good little book where he puts it very well. You shall not murder. What does this mean? We should fear and love God that we may not hurt nor harm our neighbor in his body, but help and befriend him in every bodily need. That's what this means. So God gave us this commandment. So our relationship with him, as Martin Luther points out, we should fear and love God so that, you know, our relationship with God would shape our relationships with each other, so that we can live out our relationship with God in our relationships with each other in love. Life with God means life with each other. Loving God means loving your neighbor, loving your brother. Right? So this reveals God's life. This commandment reveals the eternal life of the uniquely real God whose very being is love. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the communion of the Holy Spirit. Not one of these divine persons lives for himself at the, you know, expense of someone else. He gives himself to the other in love. That's the life of God, this spirit of love. That this is God. This is how God has his being. God's life is love. And really, this is true of all created life as it reflects the life of God, the Creator. His life is love. Every form of life that you see is love. If there were no love, there would be no life. This is true of life, especially human life, biologically, socially, spiritually, right? Life comes from relationships of love. Life consists of relationships of love. Life persists for the sake of relationships of love because life comes from the triune God whose life is relationships of love. So when Yahweh gives us commandments like this, he's revealing his life. He's inviting us to share in his life. He's opening to us a participation in his own eternal life of love so that the way that he lives forever would be the way that we live together. Always. He's inviting us to a new way of life with him, a new way of life in him. Murder is the old way. of life. It's the way of death, obviously. Murder, which arises naturally from our sin nature, stands in opposition to God's life of love. Murder in any way, shape, or form is antithetical to life, and therefore it's antithetical to love. And I say murder in any way, shape, or form because the Word of God makes it clear murder means more than simply what we would classify as first-degree murder. Right? This commandment could be translated, you shall not kill, because the Hebrew word here is quite often used to refer to accidental manslaughter in the Scriptures. If you're careless and another human being dies as a result, you've killed that person with the word that's used here, you shall not kill. You've killed that person even though it wasn't intentional murder. Our legal system reflects an understanding of different degrees of homicide, right? You've got the premeditated murder, first degree. You've got voluntary manslaughter, you know, you lose it in a fit of rage. You've got involuntary manslaughter, which, you know, recklessness that results in somebody's death. You've got negligent homicide, carelessness. All of these are covered by the Hebrew word that is translated here, murder. Kill. In fact, Jesus says, you know, the other person doesn't even have to die. Matthew 5, you've heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift. So God knows that if murder comes from your heart, which he knows and he says, if murder comes from your heart, well, it can thrive in your heart, even if it never works its way to the outside through your actions or your words. You know, a woman paralyzed in a hospital bed can just as well murder in her heart. Hatred, anger, resentment, bitterness, the desire for revenge, nursing a grudge, despising, disdaining, ignoring someone, you know, pretending or saying that person is dead to me, might only take place in our hearts, but it is the way that leads to death because it means the end of love. It means the end of relationships. So if you hate your brother, if you want nothing to do with him, you don't want what's good for him, you don't dwell in the life of the God of love. John makes this very clear in our New Testament reading that Marcus read from 1 John. Read it again just so it hopefully sinks in. This is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers also. So God wants you to join him in his life of love, the life that characterizes his eternity and his glory, to enter into his life truly, to live his way of life in the fellowship of the Spirit with each other from the deepest part of who you are, from the heart, and in every way, in your mind, in your words, in your actions. So the Westminster Assembly recognized how thorough this is. They're attempting to be very thorough in their helpful description of this commandment, which you can see printed there at the bottom of the page where the scripture reading is, from the Larger Catechism 135. I'll read that paragraph. The duties required in the sixth commandment are all careful studies and lawful endeavors to preserve the lives of ourselves and others by resisting all thoughts and purposes, subduing all passions, and avoiding all occasions, temptations, and practices which tend to the unjust taking away of the life of any, by just defense thereof against violence, patient bearing of the hand of God, quietness of mind, cheerfulness of spirit, a sober use of meat, drink, physic, sleep, labor, and recreations, by charitable thoughts, love, compassion, meekness, gentleness, kindness, peaceable, mild, and courteous speeches and behavior, forbearance, readiness to be reconciled, patient bearing and forgiving of injuries, and requiting good for evil, comforting and succoring the distressed, and protecting and defending the innocent. That's pretty thorough. So yeah, I mean, this commandment goes way beyond merely forbidding first-degree murder. If our relationship with God is going to define our relationships with each other, then this commandment is requiring us to make our whole lives, inside and out, about love. To give our lives in service of the good of others in ways that tend to their life, ultimately, and especially for the sake of their eternal life with God, the sake of their participating in God's life of love. And in order for this to happen in us, we need a heart transplant. That's the way Jesus talks about it, spiritually speaking. We need to die to the old ways of death, and we need God's life to come alive in us. And this is why God came into the world. This is why God became a man in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. He came to, actually, on our behalf, die to the old ways of sin and death and murder, to die to those old ways for us in our place, so that his own life might come alive in us through the gift of his Spirit given to us. So by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. That's the definition of love. God, in the person of his Son, laid down his life for us. He gave his life for the sake of our life with God. We did what common sense is for sinners. We did what sinners do. We took his life. So when humanity murdered Jesus on the cross, that came from our hearts. We were doing what comes naturally to our sin nature. We saw our good brother, and our deeds were evil, and we killed him. But by the mercy and grace of God, the blood of our brother, Jesus, our good brother, speaks a better word than the blood of Cain's brother, Abel. The blood of Jesus speaks forgiveness. Jesus spoke forgiveness on the cross, because what is in his heart, when you go all the way down inside of Jesus' heart, what is in God's heart is life and love and forgiveness, even for murderers who have death in their hearts. At the crucifixion, death seemed to win the day. The murderers seemed to have the power and the victory, but the cross is where Jesus took our murder and he turned it into eternal life by his own sacrificial love. Truly, God's love had the victory, and that is proven, and that is proclaimed in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. God's life of love is a love that's stronger than death, and that life belongs to the risen Lord Jesus forever. It is in his hands, and he gives it to whom he will. This life that is stronger than death, this love that is stronger than death, belongs to the risen Lord Jesus and to whomever he shares it as a gift of his grace. So if you trust Jesus, if you belong to Jesus, if you're united to Jesus, then you have the spirit of the risen Lord, the one who's conquered death, the one who's conquered all enmity and evil thoughts and murder that comes from our hearts. If you trust Jesus, his own divine life of love is alive in you forever, just as it is in him. Jesus has lived God's life of love on our behalf, and he's shared God's life of love with us to break the power of death in us, to kill murder at its root in our hearts. And so what this means is a miracle that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we would begin to love someone other than ourselves. We begin to lay down our lives for them, serve them, pursue the life and the good of them, even though they're sinners, right? Even though there's people who would be our enemies by nature, people who, according to common sense, we might not think they deserve to live, people who we might think deserve to be cut off from us relationally. Because of the miracle of Christ's own spirit in us, we begin to love them. That person might even be a literal murderer. In God's life of love, God has included even murderers like us. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Forgive one another as God in Christ forgave you. Preserve and promote the life of other sinners as God in Christ has done for you. Pursue reconciliation with other sinners as God in Christ has done for you. Share the way of eternal life found in Jesus Christ with other sinners as God in Christ has done for you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we see in your Son the end of our sinful anger, the death of murder itself as something that comes from the hearts of human beings. We see sins forgiven. We see relationships restored. We see true communion in the life of the God of love. Help us to embrace your life in Jesus, to find our life with you and with each other in his sacrificial love. Help us to consider our old, angry, sinful selves to be crucified and dead in Christ. Help us to walk by the Spirit of the risen Lord, to live as citizens of your kingdom of love. You're our only hope for freedom from hating one another. We pray that you would set us free to love as you have freely loved us. We believe, Lord, help our unbelief. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.